Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here today. I want to thank Kaleida and Buffalo General Hospital for hosting us here today for this extraordinarily important conversation and announcement about the work that we're doing collaboratively here in Western New York that will have national impacts. I want to recognize the workers here at Buffalo General Hospital and throughout the Kaleida system. My mother was a worker here, a nurse for 29 years at Buffalo General. So this hospital is in my DNA. So I'm really proud to be here with you all this morning and truly appreciate all of these leaders standing with me here today. This past September, Hurricane Helene battered a half dozen states with Category 4 force, devastating neighborhoods and communities, and claiming the lives of more than 300 people. My prayers are with the survivors as they pick up the pieces following the devastation that the hurricane left in its wake. I also offer my immense gratitude to our emergency managers who are working tirelessly to continue to help communities recover. In North Carolina, the Category 4 storm took an immense toll on the area's infrastructure, decimating roads, power lines, and cell towers. It also halted production at one of the largest suppliers of IV solution in the country, Baxter International North Cove Manufacturing Facility in Marion, North Carolina. Last week, more than 86% of healthcare providers were experiencing IV solution shortages, which are essential to carrying out medical procedures. Our region was not spared. Instances of patients in Western New York who were not able to receive elective surgeries brings renewed attention to the importance of securing the supply chain and ensuring that individuals across our community and every community in the United States get access to quality health care when they need it. This is all compounded by the fact that the devastation in Marion is still not completely resolved. The community is still cleaning up from that horrific storm, and the operation for IV fluids in Marion is still not online. I thank the leaders from the hospitals across the Buffalo Niagara region, as well as the union leadership who have joined me here today. I'm joined by Kaleida Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Michael Minio, ECMC COO, Andy Davis, Dr. Candace Johnson, the President and CEO of Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center, the head of the Western New York Labor Federation, President Peter DeJesus Jr. I also want to recognize Dr. Sam Cloud, the Chief Medical Officer at ECMC, Debbie Hayes and Corey Gambini from CWA 1168, and Jim Scordato as well from SEIU 1199. I also want to thank all of the healthcare workers and the operations of this facility and all the respective organizations who work so hard advocating for the resources that are required to provide the care that our patients and loved ones need when they need it the most. And I know that our patients are what drives you each and every day, and we thank you for your efforts. This time, our hospitals were able to deliver the procedures and services people and patients rely on, but we cannot wait for an even more powerful storm, or another pandemic for that matter, to leave our hospitals and patients without the necessary IV solution and other medical supplies to deliver high quality and timely care. So, what are we doing? I've called on the Department of Health and Human Services and the Food and Drug Administration to explain the actions that they took to address the shortage, and I've inquired about the policy changes being made moving forward to ease future shortages. I've also called on the three largest domestic manufacturers of IV fluids to strengthen their supply chains and review the merits of diversifying production locations, especially in the face of more frequent and severe weather events where their manufacturing facilities are located. And I've requested that the Government Accountability Office issue a report with policy recommendations for Congress and our federal agencies to prevent future medical supply shortages caused by extreme weather and other disasters. As a member of the Committee on Homeland Security, Subcommittee on Emergency Management and Technology, ensuring that hospitals have the supplies that they need to function in the face of these emergencies and natural disasters is a top priority of mine. And as a healthcare practitioner, I recognize the need to put resources on the ground in the moment when people need it most, and when these extraordinary healthcare practitioners are taking care of our loved ones in communities like ours all across the nation. So lives are dependent upon the workforce having the resources that they need to do the job, and these facilities that are manufacturing those resources to be able to produce them in a way that they are delivered across the country. In the case of the storm of Helene and Milton, in the communities that were devastated, both in North Carolina and Florida, it took a massive, massive bite out of the ability for these companies, three companies that deliver 100% of IV fluids across the whole country, to deliver that IV fluid in a timely fashion. In North Carolina, the facility that I mentioned in Marion that was shut down, 60% of all IV fluids are delivered and manufactured from that location across the country. Down in Florida, 20% of all of the fluids, and in Texas, the other 20%. So with Texas, Florida, and North Carolina, and other states being at the center of these climate change storms that are ravaging these states, we're hoping that these agencies will heed our advice, diversify the geography to which they're manufacturing these important medical treatments, and allow for these hospitals to provide the care in a moment's notice when necessary. So I want to thank everyone once again for joining us here today. I'm truly proud to stand here with each and every one of you. And with that, I'd like to call up to speak Dr. Michael Mineo, again, Chief Medical Officer here at Kaleida Health. Doctor?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Kennedy, for your tireless support for Kaleida Health, our 13,000 employees, the 3,000 members of our medical staff, and the community we serve. We couldn't be here without your tireless support. As a former occupational therapist, Congressman Kennedy knows what it's like to be at the bedside. He is now using his experience and the power of his office to advocate for all of us in Western New York. After all, we exist for one reason: to care for our community. Kaleida Health has learned from the lessons of COVID-19. We have done our best to diversify our supply chain and be able to react quickly, but we still need help and we need support. Our physicians, our frontline staff, our nurses, our PCAs, and our occupational therapists need all the resources we could have, but moments like this really show the support of the community. We've gotten creative throughout this crisis. You've relied on our community's supporters, including Tops Markets, which supplied 30,000 bottles of Gatorade, 27,000 packets of liquid IV, all to make sure we had alternatives to serve our patients. Not every patient requires an IV, but by using our clinicians in our community, we've been able to use alternatives to make sure we continue to provide the care our community needs. You know, not everybody needs the IV, but with education and community, we can serve. For some routine surgeries, we did postpone 3 days worth of cases, but we continue to reassess daily, and with the impact of everything we've discussed, we'll continue to serve the community. So again, on behalf of our 13,000 employees, our community, thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you so much, Dr. Mineo. And thanks for throwing the OTs in there as well. Next, I'd like to call up Andy Davis, Chief Operating Officer over at ECMC. Andy.
Thank you.
Doctor.
On behalf of our ECMC family, we are grateful for Congressman Kennedy's leadership and his strong support of ECMC throughout the years, and certainly his public services certainly is well known. Since Hurricane Helene caused a temporary reduction in the IV fluid deliveries to healthcare institutions across the country, ECMC immediately accessed additional IV fluids from all available resources and notified clinical staff of the need for the efforts to conserve. The impact has definitely been challenging, but thanks to our dedicated caregivers who always rally to ensure that the highest quality care for our patients, we have been able to maintain our services without interruption. We agree with Congressman Kennedy that we must prevent future shortages and invest in supply chain resiliency, especially in the face of increasingly severe and frequent weather events. We know very well here in Buffalo about severe weather events, and we support this action immediately. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you very much, Andy, and for your leadership. Next, Dr. Candace Johnson, the president and CEO of Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Thank you so much, Dr.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Congressman Kennedy, for shining a light onto this situation. Like you've heard from the previous two speakers, shortly after this hurricane devastated this plant, we were all acutely aware of this, and we all went into action. And it's really those individuals to thank, and they've already been thanked, but it's the frontline staff, it's the healthcare workers, it's the physicians, it's everyone who comes together and figures out a solution to this, because if you're a cancer patient, you can't, many times you need those IV fluids, even you're not even having a surgical procedure. We were able, like many others, to get through this okay, knock on something, so that none of our patients were harmed from any of this. But it really takes an effort. The other thing that I'd like to comment on, and this happens with every even a snow event that we have here in Buffalo, New York, is all of us, all of these hospitals come together and we work hard. The snowstorm at Christmas, there were people going back and forth in the bridge between our two hospitals for food, just for camaraderie, because they were stuck here for 3 or 4 days. We all come together in these disasters, and I just thank you for shining a light on this, and hopefully we'll go forward in a more positive way. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Johnson. And last but certainly not least, a great friend and representative of the labor community and the worker force here all across Western New York, president of the Western New York AFL-CIO, Peter DeJesus.
Thank you, Congressman Kennedy. Thank you for bringing a light to this critical issue. I want to thank our partners at ECMC, Roswell Park, and Kaleida Health, especially for hosting us. You know, as representatives of the working people here in West New York, we stand in solidarity with our healthcare heroes and the patients that they serve in this critical moment. The IV solution shortage caused by Hurricane Helene's damage to the Baxter International North Cove facility is a stark reminder of how fragile our supply chains are when it comes to essential medical supplies. Hospitals across Western New York and even the nation are facing the impossible decisions about postponing surgeries and rationing care, all because of a single point failure in the manufacturing process. So this isn't just a healthcare issue, it's a worker issue. As stated earlier, our nurses, doctors, and support staff rely on these products to do their jobs effectively and safely. Their ability to care for patients should never be compromised by corporate decisions or gaps in supply chain planning. We support Congressman Kennedy's call for a thorough review of how we can shore up these weaknesses and prevent future shortages. Our healthcare system should be resilient, able to withstand disasters without putting lives at risk. We urge manufacturers, federal agencies, and legislators to prioritize health and safety of patients by addressing these vulnerabilities. Together, we can ensure that workers on the front lines and the patients that they care for are never left without the tools they need to get the job done. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you.
All right, with that, I can open it up to any on-topic questions.
How many manufacturing facilities do you think are needed to satisfy the whole country, as well as give a safety disaster?
Well, that's what we're looking to have answered. In reaching out to the Government Accountability Office, we're asking them specifically to review the supply chain of IV fluids and other medical resources that are needed for our healthcare workers to provide care to individuals across the country. When you have facilities that are consolidated in one, two, or three states, especially in storm-ravaged states, it's only a matter of time before we deal with a crisis. We want to prevent that crisis from ever occurring and be proactive in finding a solution. So we've reached out to the Government Accountability Office and hopefully They'll take us up on our request to do a full-scale review of the supply chain and make changes from there.
Is there things state leaders can do? A lot of these jobs go south because of cheap labor, cheap taxes. Is there something we can do in our level to get these jobs to come back to the Northeast?
Well, I think recognizing that we have the opportunity here, an incredibly skilled labor workforce that's ready to go to work. We have people that want to do this type of manufacturing, and quite frankly, there's no better place in the country than the Western New York region, a climate refuge community that is perfect for some of these companies to relocate some of their manufacturing. So whether it's here or in other areas spread throughout the country, diversifying the geography of where these products are manufactured rather than just consolidated into a couple of states is going to make sure that that resiliency is built in for the future for these medical services and resources, but it's also going to prevent this sort of crisis from ever happening again.
This is kind of a story, not just in the medical field, but we've seen it sort of across industries. There's a chlorine shortage that was required a couple of years ago. Are there federal rules that can be put in place so that we don't have these centralized mega factories that shut down the supply chain if there's a
Yeah, again, when we sent these letters out, we are asking for the Health Administration to look at what they've done in response and how they can get better. We are sending out letters to the companies asking for them to be a partner in resolving this issue because they're the manufacturers. They have the expertise. We need to work with them to bring them to locations like here in Western New York or New York State or outside of the areas that are storm ravaged and just targets for the future. And next week, to their credit, Baxter, that was ravaged down in Marion, North Carolina, is going to be meeting with my office to figure out a plan moving forward and how we can better prepare for the future and hopefully prevent this sort of thing from happening again.
Is this something where Baxter can get, like, say, FEMA funding or something like that, since they were destroyed by a natural disaster or, well, hindered?
Yeah, I'm sure that they qualify, and given the significance of the hit of that community, it'll be a part of the solution, and FEMA will be playing a critical role in bringing that community back online.